When my wife Jackie and I bought our first home in upstate New York, a cute little two-story Tudor bungalow. Soon after we moved in, we discovered in the dark, damp basement, in a far corner, a shelf with jars on it. They were mason jars. You couldn't really see what was inside, so we had to take them outside to see what it was. We could see little tiny seeds, tomato seeds, but the liquid was a real murky brown. You really didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I held it at arm's length, several jars. I unscrewed the top, and then I flung it as far as I could into the farthest reaches of my backyard. Imagine my surprise months later when tomato plants began to grow. These seeds had to be somewhere close to 40 years old, according to the mason jars. We never got any tomatoes from them, but just the same, there were plants, and I realized for the first time that I was an accidental gardener. I was inspired by those tomato plants, and so I decided to set out the next spring to do a real vegetable garden. Many of you know that I grew up on a farm for the first 12 years of my life along the Green River in the Kent Valley. I was pretty sure I was channeling my dad. So I set out with pencil and paper, and I first drew out a schematic of my garden. I knew where I was going to plant everything. Tomatoes here, potatoes across the way, and carrots going this way. I had it all planned, all figured out. I rented a rototiller. I nearly lost a toe. But I did get it completed, I did get my garden planted, and I must have felt a lot like Adam when he discovered the garden. I'm standing there going, this is going to be really, really great. Sure enough, after watering and weeding, the plants began to grow, and I was pretty excited about what I was going to get. My own potatoes, my own tomatoes, my own carrots, green beans, and so on and so forth, and then a thunderstorm. If you've never lived in upstate New York, you have no idea what a thunderstorm can be like. In the middle of summer, you can get a thunderstorm with hail. It just pelted and just beat that garden to death. I was so disappointed. But with a little bit of hard work, the plants began to come back. And then I met my nemesis. It was a big, big, fat, furry rabbit. This rabbit looked at that garden the way some people look at the $1.99 all-you-can-eat breakfast brunch. You know, it was a feast, a smorgasbord every day for this rabbit. And so I built a fence. That'll teach him, or her. I mean, how do you ever tell what a rabbit is, really, you know? So anyway, after I built the fence and feeling pretty secure about my garden, I remember driving up the driveway, and as you drove up the driveway toward the garage, you could see the back of our yard, and I could see the garden. And there, that rascal laid, just in the sun, sunning himself after having sumptuously destroyed about half the garden, inside the fence. The rabbit and I were going to have it out. There was no doubt about that. But you have to ask yourself, Wayne, what were you thinking? You know, that year before when you just flung those tomato seeds, you were surprised and just happy and delighted that they grew. And even though they produced no fruit, it was still like, isn't that cool? But you see, now I'm concerned about yield. You know, I'm concerned about getting tomatoes or getting potatoes or getting carrots. And, you know, I'm concerned about getting a result for all that hard work that I did. That's what changed. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the familiar parable of the sower and the seed. He tells it in the context of responding to some very unhappy religious and political authorities. They have made a decision to do away with him. They, the religious and political authorities, simply cannot have an accidental teacher, leader, guru, itinerant preacher. Call him what you will, but you dare not call him the Son of God. You dare not call him the Son of God, for that would be blasphemy. For Jesus was going around stirring up the kind of unrest that only Jesus could, stirring it up among the masses, but especially among the poor and the immigrant and the needy. And in their minds, Jesus was like that big fat rabbit in my garden, a Johnny come lately who was simply wreaking havoc on the garden that the religious and political authorities had spent so much time cultivating and getting it to produce for them at the expense of others. Jesus and his parables always threaten. Parables do that, don't they? They threaten the hearer's little world of assumptions. You know, the assumptions in which we live by. Parables have a way of turning conventional wisdom upside down, standing it on its head. Consider this morning for a moment the parable of the Good Samaritan. It turned the conventional wisdom in Jesus' day between Jews and Samaritans. They did not mix. They had no contact with each other. And yet here is a story in which a Samaritan befriends a Jew. And how about the story of the prodigal son? Have you ever heard anything so as ridiculous as a parent rewarding the slacker child with a feast and a party for doing what you're supposed to do anyway, come to your senses, the very things you told the child what was going to happen? It makes no sense at all. You never see that in parenting books. The parable of the sower and the seed is no exception when it comes to threatening the assumptions by which we live, especially our assumptions about stewardship. Wait a second, you're saying to yourself, did he just say stewardship? Is this November? No, it's July. Do you realize that only the subject of love and romance, books written about love and romance, are the only subject that outweighs books that are written about efficiency and effectiveness? How many of those books can you remember? Seven highly good habits, 10 tips for being more effective at whatever you do, 12 steps to efficiency. That's what we're concerned about. That was my concern. I wanted a yield. I wanted something to show for a result of my hard work in that garden. It has been my experience over my many years in the ministry that congregations most often make their decisions about mission and ministry on the basis of efficiency and effectiveness. A church consultant who once asked a congregational council, "How do you know if your decisions are faithful?" And the answer was efficiency and effectiveness. If that were the criteria for examining this parable of the sower and the seed, this accidental gardener, the sower would be a complete failure. After all, the sower gave no thought to where the seed was being broadcast. The sower indiscriminately tossed seed so that some ended up on the sidewalk. Others fell among thorns, more than likely blackberry bushes. Who among you plant in your blackberry bushes? When it comes to our stewardship of the ministry here at Queen Anne Lutheran, we want to be good stewards. Of that, there is no doubt. No one can question that. But our good stewardship is often measured by how efficient we are or how effective we are. If we think the gifts we are giving to the congregation, be it our time or our talent or our treasure, we think they're being wasted, we decide that we'll take them someplace else. I want it to be more efficient. I want it to be more effective. We find ourselves using those terms, effective and efficient, to measure our witness to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said to the 8 o'clock service this morning, the 8 a.m. service, I said, I had made a decision that if only four people showed up today for the 8 o'clock service, this would not be either effective or efficient use of our time. And then Debbie Squire said, well, Wayne, where two or three are gathered. And I thought, oh, phooey, I was going to go to breakfast. That would have been more effective and efficient. I have heard often from members of this congregation how ineffective and how inefficient our youth ministry is. Lions, Lutheran Youth of North Seattle, one of the finest youth ministries. But you know what the problem is? We only have two high school students participating, and we're paying $20,000 a year to be part of this. How effective and efficient is that? That's what we do. We think about effectiveness and efficiency when it comes to the stewardship of our ministry. Jesus told the parable of the sower and seed over 2,000 years ago, and still today it upsets us. It upsets our ideas about stewardship and about the mission and the ministry of our congregation. More than upsets, it turns the way we think about mission and ministry on its head. The parable also challenges us to think about what it is that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. You want to talk about ineffectiveness, inefficiency? Let's talk about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ's grace is not measured out to each of us so that we receive our portion based upon how good or how efficient or how effective we have been as Christians. God is the original accidental gardener. The grace of God is broadcast far and wide. It falls on places where there is absolutely no hope of growth. It falls on places where no one would purposely sow seeds. We, whose lives, we must admit, are rocky and full of thorns, we are the recipients of God's gracious love. For God is neither concerned with effectiveness or efficiency when it comes to giving his only son to die for us for the forgiveness of sins. God is concerned with redemption. God is concerned with salvation and saving us from ourselves. The parable of the sower and the seed. It is a timely reminder to us that preaching the gospel, living the good news of a gracious and loving Savior, requires us to take risks. Translation: faith. The willingness to make mistakes, the willingness to be purposely wasteful, to be accidental gardeners with the grace of God, broadcast far and wide the forgiveness of sins. Be sure to waste time and energy giving people love and hope. It is all part of where the good news, the grace of God, will take hold and grow. Don't look for big numbers. Don't measure your success by the harvest. Forget about efficiency and effectiveness, but intentionally and purposely plan to be an accidental gardener, sowing the seeds of God's grace and love for others. Like those tomato seeds I flung to the far reaches of my backyard, fling it. Fling the seeds of grace and love, mercy and forgiveness. Care not where it falls or what it will produce. Have faith. And remember the words of the Apostle St. Paul. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.